Today on Real Life Radio.
Choose you today whom you will serve. God says, I've made you a creature of choice. I'm for choice. Listen, choose wisely. Jesus has come, and I'll use you, and you'll love it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, People God Can Use, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, who was a physician, could do. Here as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that God uses people that Jesus calls to come to him, and they respond to his voice with the desire to do his will. You see, just as Jesus responds to the Father, we are to respond to him, to have enough faith to put God first in our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we are a people who God uses, we weep over the injustices in this world. We're not offended by those who hate or exclude us over our love for Jesus, but we're happy that we found through Christ a joy that will last forever. Now in his message called People God Can Use, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It says in Mark 12:34, now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Can you imagine, my friend, listen up. You living your life, and because you did not get into the Bible to find out what God expected of you, and yet you believed in God, you were even moral and religious. You're a good guy. But at the end of your life, can you imagine standing at the end of your life saying, or listening to hear God say to you, the kingdom of God was near you, so near you. It was so close to you, you never grabbed it. You waved at it. You did a drive-by. You winked at it. You agreed with it. You acquiesced to it, but you never took it in. You were a member of the First Pentecostal. You served there. You cleaned the church every Saturday. You vacuumed. You did all these things. And every time you were there, every time you heard the word, every time I was speaking to you, you don't know me personally. Accept me now. Pray. Bow your knee. Pray that prayer. Let me change your life. Let me come in and make you new. Jesus would say, the kingdom came near you. But you didn't take it in. In Luke 17:20, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, here it is or there it is. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. When it comes by, my friend, you better grab it. If you are not grabbing it, that means you're hearing an invitation to know God and you're saying, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Someday I'm going to need to do that. You know what? I have to make that decision sometime. It's a terrifying game of Russian roulette. Verse 21, he says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. This is not just a physical hunger, it's a spiritual hunger. In Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist, King David, writes, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's the cry of a heart that is hungry, satisfying, longing to be filled. It's not only a physical hunger he's speaking about. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger again, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What a great word that is. By the way, those of you who are ranchers or cattlemen, and the Lord knows there's a lot of you here, listen to this. The reason why I point that out is because John 6, 35 is answering what Jesus is saying here. You'll be filled. This word filled here, in the Greek, it's a cattleman's term. It's a rancher's term. And it means, listen to this, it means to feed the animal a certain diet that brings it to perfection. It means to feed the animal, to bring it to an absolute perfect place of why it was created. Apparently, if you have a cow, you don't feed him birdseed. If you have a cow, you feed him cow food or whatever that is. Jesus is saying, if you're hungry, I will fill you and it will bring you to that place of absolute completion. Isn't that neat? He doesn't give us Burger King, Carl's Jr., Taco Bell. Man, he gives us customized, perfect, from his kitchen feeding. No fast food with God. It's wonderful. Listen to this, verse 21. He says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And this word weep, are you ready for this? It's amazing. How current is it today? It means that your heart is weeping. You weep. You're sick over injustice and unrighteousness. Wow. It's almost as though this verse was written in light of our Supreme Court or the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. What planet are they on? Unbelievable. I just thank God I'm not going to stand before him as a judge. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, Jesus says, are you weeping over the injustice of this world? A disciple of Jesus Christ weeps over the injustice and the unrighteousness. So watch this. Jesus says in John 16, 20, there's going to come a day when your sorrow will be turned into joy. You know what? When was the last time you wept over the injustice or at least got sick to your stomach over the unrighteousness of this life? When somebody who molests a child, I heard it this week, and rapes a two-year-old baby, that the baby survives, but it has to have now a colostomy bag for the rest of its life because its guts were torn up, but the person's released because they weren't read their Miranda rights properly. God will deal with that perpetrator. Jesus said, if you offend a child, it's better for you to have never been born than to see me in the day of judgment. Injustice and unrighteousness. We get callous to it. Things happen. People watch beheadings on the internet. Oh, look at this. Did you see this one? Watch this one. We're sick. We should break down crying before the throne of God. And that should make us sick. Listen, you say, Jack, man, you're getting overboard there, dude. Listen, the Bible says God weeps over the death of the wicked. He cries about those who are not even going to come see him. You know what we say? Good riddance. That's wrong. It's a very serious thing. Nearly 48 million children have been aborted. God weeps. So I don't know if I agree or not agree. I don't care what you think. God weeps over it. That means you and I better weep over it. Listen, when people are released because, you know what, we know you're terribly guilty and you've messed around with a bunch of people or you've hurt or you've cut these people up, but we don't have any more prison. We don't have any more space. God weeps over injustice. We have mismanaged our world by leaving God out of it. Verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you. And when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name out as evil. Will you circle this, please? All this for the sake of the Son of Man. For the Son of Man's sake. You know what that means? You say, yeah, Pastor, I know people hate me. Whew, people hate me. Pastor Jack, people hate me everywhere I go. This is being hated for Jesus' sake, not because you're crazy. Not because you're really rude and ugly to be around. This is being hated for Jesus' sake. It means people hate you because they see so much of God in your life. They can't stand being around you. All right, here she comes. You know what? Man, here she comes. Watch her. She's going to love her enemies. Here she comes. Look, we can't go anywhere with her. There's that person homeless there. She'll say, pull over. She carries food in her car to give to the homeless people. It makes me sick. Oh, look, here they come. Every time they're around, we can't cuss and feel good about it like we normally can. They hate the Jesus that's coming out of you. They don't want to be near you. They don't want anything to do with the new and improved, redeemed you. Because it's too much of God. The word in the Greek means to cut the arm off. Sever. They're going to say, you know what? Don't invite them. Here they come. Let's go the other way. Come on, let's get out of here. Huh? Exclude you. To cut you off. Look, you're a Christian now? You got this Jesus stuff coming out of your life? You know what? You're not our brother, our son, our daughter, our father, our mother anymore to us. You say, Jack, that doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, well, you want to watch what happens when a Jewish person comes to know Jesus as Messiah. Watch what happens when a Muslim, and thank God there are many Muslims coming to faith in Jesus now. Watch what happens when the rest of their family finds out that they're not a, that they're no longer Muslim. They have a funeral for them. Fake funeral. It's over. It's amazing. Jesus says, and they revile you. You know what this word revile means? It means that they cast their teeth at you. Now, when I first read that, I had to laugh. I thought, you know what? Here they come. Oh, no. Get them out of here. Oh, they're going to hate you. That goes to show you that if Jesus came back today, they'd kill him again. Make no mistake about it. Look at verse 23. The people that God can use, well, it's a joy. It's a joy that will last forever. Not only happiness, but it's a joy. Rejoice, he says. Now, this verse is tucked in between four declarations, four blesseds and four woe unto you. In the middle is a rejoice. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in where? Heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. That is, they treated terribly the godly prophets. Very quickly, we need to go because of lack of time. Just jot it down if you would later on. Or look at it later on. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 19 to 21, and Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 40. I'll summarize it. Jesus said there, his heart was rejoicing in the Spirit over the fact that the disciples were out serving him. And then in Acts, they go out to serve him in Acts chapter 5, and I love this. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles are preaching. And it says apostles. They're preaching the Word of God. And Rome and the Jewish leadership is all upset. And they said, you know what? Arrest those guys. And they arrest them and put them in jail. They're going to figure out what they're going to do with them. They're arrested. What happens? An angel came and unlocks the door. And the guys are free. Hey, come on. Let's go. They go back out. And instead of running and hiding like a bunch of cowards, it says that they went right back to where they were at. And they began preaching again. And then when word came to the rulers, it says, those whom you bound are out preaching. They said, that's not possible. We arrested them. They're in jail. They said, no, they're out preaching. They're loose. Again. What? Get them. Arrest them. And it says that the apostles went with the guards. You want to arrest? Okay, let's go. All right. What? Didn't we tell you to stop preaching in Jesus' name? By the way, that also, think about preaching in Jesus' name. Preaching in Jesus' name, praying in Jesus' name, living in Jesus' name, you name it. If it's in Jesus' name, you're in trouble. Didn't we tell you not to preach in Jesus' name? Yeah. Well, why didn't you stop? Because we kind of figured out what you were saying versus what God has said in the Bible, and it's better for us to obey God instead of you. Amen. And they went, what? We can't stand you! Beat them! They came in, they beat the apostles up. And then it said, now get out of here! Don't speak in his name anymore! And they go out in the street, and it says that they went away rejoicing and leaping, that they were, not limping, leaping, that they were found worthy to be punished for being in association with Jesus. Man, you know what? I hope if I get beat up, it's because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, not because I'm being an idiot about something. If I get persecuted, it better be because I've took a stand of righteousness, not because I deserve it for some other reason. Well, all of us are guilty by association to something or someone. And then we'll end with this. It's a reality that cannot be denied. Verses 24 to 26, it's a reality that cannot be denied. But woe to you who are rich. It's not a sin to be rich. Woe to you who trust in your riches and have no need for God. You've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. You've gluttonized yourself and lived for sheer pleasure. Woe to you. You're done. I mean, you've already had your heaven. Woe to you who laugh now. By the way, the word in the Greek to laugh now means woe to you who laugh at the wrong thing. For you shall mourn and weep. You laugh at the wrong thing. Hey, did you see that guy fall over and crack his head? Oh, isn't that funny? What are you, sick? We live in a world right now, they have TV programs laughing at the misfortune of other people. And they make it a game. Look at that guy slipped on a banana. Oh, man. Look at, he's really hurting too. Ha-ho! That's wrong. Jesus said, yuck it up because you're not going to laugh later. That's my paraphrase. Don't obey that one. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. That's powerful. Listen, he says in verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the what prophets? False prophets. Jesus says, woe to you who are full now. False prophets. Everybody speaks well about them. Everybody buys their books. Oh, did you hear that? Did you buy the book? Did you read that? Or this or the other thing? Wow. If that's how you get to heaven, is that how you get to be a biggie in heaven? By the accolades of men and women on earth? No. These are serious issues, are they not? Is this not intense when Jesus himself, precious Jesus, meek and mild, says, blessed are you. Oh, and woe unto you. Woe to you who have no need of me now. Now listen, I'll end with this. Hear me out. Did God not make you and I with the ability to choose? What are you going to have today for breakfast? You're going to choose, aren't you? And in that sense, God's pro-choice. He's engineered choice into you. Right? He didn't make a robot. If you want to eat or not, sleep or not, God put choice in you. So that means he's pro-choice. Don't think of abortion. I'm not even thinking on that level. God engineered into you love, the ability to choose, to logic and reason. You're not a robot. Here's what we don't like. Blessed are you or woe unto you. Because God engineered in you the ability to choose, you will define where you wind up in eternity based upon God gifting you, bestowing upon you the responsibility of choice. Choose you today whom you will serve. God says, I have made you a creature of choice. I'm for choice. Listen, choose wisely. Jesus says, come, and I'll use you, and you'll love it, and you'll find the meaning of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we ask you, Lord, that for all that are hearing now, Lord, that for all of us, we would say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, as our Savior, and yes, Lord, as our Master. Yes. Lord, I choose today to serve you. I choose today to obey you. Lord, I'm making a choice. And Lord, this church makes a choice. And Lord, it's my prayer that we choose to serve you and to do what we do for you and your name. Lord, let us be reviled and mocked and cut off and have teeth cast at us as long as it's for your name's sake. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that today, Lord God, they would say, Jesus, I receive you. I'm sorry for my sins. Please cleanse me and wash me by your glorious blood. Having been risen from the dead, I put my faith in you. I, Jesus, want to start life all over again. Today, I want to be born again. And I say yes to you. Decide today, my friend, whom you'll serve, and then serve with all of your heart. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called People God Can Use, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, the Gospel of Luke, this series, is a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So this is one of those times I get to sit down in the studio with my good friend, Pastor Jack. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing good, David.
You're doing good, and for the same reason that I'm doing good. It's Christmas. We're coming up on Christmas. Isn't it great?
Yeah, more sweeter now than maybe ever with the way the world is going, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas, just, and if it's just, it's not that it's Christmas as a day.
Yeah.
It's about all that it represents, the fact that for the believer, Christ coming means something to us every day of the year.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, and so today's one of those days, or Christmas is that time of the season where the world has got to stop and consider. They either believe in him or they don't, but it's an awesome time.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but at this time of year, I feel like we've come to the end of another race. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Absolutely. I mean,
it seems like, oh, good, we've done it. Because we started out the year with, you know, a great attitude and great plans, and some come about and some don't. What would you say this time of year as an encouragement to our Real Life Radio listeners?
I think what I would say is that, and you're right, it's the end of the year and it's the beginning of a new year. I have to say personally that over the last this would be the third year now, on January 1st, where I can bear testimony to the fact that what I thought would be really awesome to see God do, wouldn't it be amazing if he succeeded all those things? So I would encourage you guys this way, that Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think." So I would expect God to do things in your life, my life, that is beyond description. I want God to move in my life in such a way where I cannot explain it.
Yeah.
He's been doing that, so I expect him to keep doing it so long as I stay out of the way, right?
That's true.
And so I'm thrilled. As a pastor, the type of ministry that we're involved in, it's literally nonstop. My body is so fatigued. I'm physically thrashed,
right,
from so much ministry and stuff, and all of the stuff that surrounds it. But please, none of you, don't feel sorry for me, and don't say, "Oh, you need to take a rest." I mean, I do need to take a rest. My point is this: you can get so caught up in what you're doing that you are tired, body, soul, and spirit, or you can do what God has called you to do and be tired physically, but your spirit and your soul can be renewed daily.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at, and that's where we ought to be at, I do believe, because though my outward man's perishing, the Bible says our inward man is being renewed. And I think the one-year Bible experience, if you've never done it before, friend, join us on January 1st. Get your copy. Get it ready, and just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
And literally on the same page, right?
Absolutely.
So you can pick up your copy of the 1 Year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.